Welcome to History and D&D. In the last episode, I talked about the big campaigns and big ideas and how they related to massively multiplayer online role-playing games. Part of the scope of this podcast is relating historical events to Dungeons & Dragons, mainly for the purpose of showing how to integrate real-life events and stories into your own campaign. This allows the DM to draw from a vast array of concepts and pair it with their imaginative repurposing so that your world has more depth and feels more real to the player. Several YouTubers have expressed this idea, including Matt Colville and WebDM, but I want to make a series of it and delve deep into the process. This first episode in the series will look at a current event and apply it to a campaign, adapting the story to fit a short story arc. I chose this current story rather than one from the past because anyone could quickly find information on it. If you Google the terms GameStop bad practices, there are many sources covering much of the story from Reddit to Forbes. But where I first came across the evolving story of this terribly run company was through several YouTubers. At first, it was just the story of a company that had seemingly become lazy and shady and had employees ripping off customers. But then along came a YouTuber called Camelot331, and he blew the door open on it. Let's start at the beginning. GameStop came to be in 1984. Back then, it was called Babbage's, but by the 90s, it expanded its brand and locations and eventually became what it is today. The company hit its peak in the mid-2000s when it focused on a market that seemed to be booming at the time, but from hindsight, can be seen as a bubble. This business model was the buying and selling of used and new video games. Video games themselves are still a growing economic segment, but increasingly they are becoming purely digital products, meaning that less and less of them are being bought as physical media. This is the first aspect of the story, decline. When I first started watching videos about GameStop, they were mostly about how GameStop ripped off its customers, or about how you could rip them off. There are various examples online, but the basis is that GameStop overvalues their side of a deal and undervalues the customer. On the flip side, some of their policies do not account for a changing market and allow customers to pull a fast one on the company. Basically, GameStop doesn't seem to understand, value, or respect its customers, and just wants their goods or money. They're more concerned with profit than sustainability. The customers see this, or they sense the shadiness in the atmosphere at one of the stores, and some of them decide that it's okay to reciprocate. That's the second aspect of the story, cynicism. Lately, thanks to the likes of Camelot331, we've learned more about the workings of the company. He has outlined many stories of employees treated poorly by supervisors and regional managers. When these employees try to report some really bad behavior at the store level, up the chain, they discover that the regional managers often handpick their friends to run stores, and upper management is likewise invested in their regional managers. This is the third aspect of the story, cronyism. The human resources department is ineffectual because they do not value their frontline workers. This lowers the morale, productivity, and motivation of the employees, which increases turnover and eventually end up with people who just survive their way up the chain. You end up with an employee who either doesn't care about solving problems or one who uses these problems as loopholes to benefit themselves. This is the fourth aspect of the story, nihilism. Finally, we end with the events of 2020. You all know the story, COVID-19. While most people in the community were doing their best to limit the spread, flatten the curve, and generally follow the new rules laid out by local, regional, and federal governments, GameStop showed who they really were. All of the warning signs were there from reports over the years, but they say it takes a crisis to see your true self. So GameStop decided that the buying and selling of used video games was an essential service and refused to close down any stores. They even sent memos to stores to give to the police if they came to shut the stores down. Employees were told to ignore the lawful orders of authorities because GameStop knew better. When they were caught, not once, twice, or three times, but after a growing list of violations, they finally relented, but only because various media sources had reported on their bad behavior. At this point, they moved to curbside pickup, but did not provide employees with proper PPE to protect themselves. They were told to use store bags as gloves, for example. This is the last aspect of the story, corruption. So we have these aspects: decline, cynicism, cronyism, nihilism, and corruption. Those alone can be overarching themes for your campaign. But what I like to do is take the real-world actions and adapt them to the story itself. How closely you link the real-world and campaign events is up to you, but I like to keep it on a sort of sliding scale so that I can fit elements in where they most make sense and in a way that doesn't seem forced. So first start with location. The barony of Leschev, which is located in the northern provinces of the kingdom of Deuschenia, and on the border of this barony is an untamed frontier populated by goblin tribes to the northeast and an enemy kingdom to the northwest. This enemy kingdom is the kingdom of Rovergria, and it broke away from Deuschenia generations ago. Most of the nobles of the main kingdom see it as more of a rebel alliance than an actual state. Let me explain what's going on here through the lens of the story aspects we spoke about earlier. Decline, cynicism, cronyism, nihilism, and corruption. There's been a decline in crop yields due to drier growing seasons over the last decade. Trade has declined because of this, and prices have inflated because there is less trading coming in. In addition, there has been a general decline in the quality of leadership since a civil war occurred several generations ago. Cynicism is ticking up and up as those in power distrust the masses because they suspect an uprising is imminent, and the masses distrust their leadership because they have been unable to improve the plight of the impoverished and starving populace. Most people have become nihilistic about the ability of the realm to bring prosperity to them as they have seen the wealth and quality of life decline. And finally, those that have remained in power often are corrupt officials who are in it to take what they can for themselves. The Barony of Leschev is the stand-in for GameStop, and the Kingdom of Deuschenia is a stand-in for your government, while the enemy kingdom of Rovergria and the Goblin Tribes are external conflict points for those in power. Let's take a brief look at the enemy kingdom and the goblins. Both are motivated by territory lost to Deuschenia, but they have also gone to war with each other. They have never worked together in the past, but that's not to say they won't if they feel cornered. They fear the armies of Deuschenia more than they fear each other, but what gives these troops their power are the weapons manufactured in Leschev. So let's talk about what's going on in Leschev, as this is where the meat of the story is. The Duke of Leschev, Hamish Lesgarevich III, is continuing many of the policies set in place by his grandfather. The first of these are consolidation of power. After the Civil War, there was a fracturing of power across the region. The Gurevich dynasty were the first to begin to usurp rights. This includes several mines, forts, and river crossings, as well as religious and secular titles that gave them access to taxation and some local lawmaking. Because of this consolidation of power, they were able to mine more materials at first and create manufacturing facilities without royal assent. That means that they currently create the most and best weapons. But because of a general decline in food, there's been a population decline, which has reduced available workers and therefore output. Because of this, they've begun indenturing workers over the last few generations, and now many of those workers are basically slaves. But this has only served to lower productivity. Let's hop over to the overlord of Leschev, the kingdom of Deuschenia, for a second, to see what's going on over there. The decline has hit the kingdom hard, but their enemies aren't much better off. The main problem with the kingdom began with a series of succession crises just before the Civil War. Because a king overlooked his eldest son as his successor in favor of a younger son, when he died, his dynasty was fractured. This created several independent, overlapping points of power that vied for control during and after the Civil War. Currently, a cadet line of the dynasty is in control, but there are those who sympathize with the other factions and are secretly plotting in the background. Some of these factions have turned their eyes to the relative riches of Leschev. Back in Leschev, it hasn't gone unnoticed that there may be a secret cabal in the Greater Kingdom who would see Baron Hamish Lesgarevich III replaced and his wealth stolen. But in his mind, he's not a fool because he's aware that they must be plotting against him. How does he plan to deal with this turn of events? He's hired agents, increased his armed forces, and bribed officials. All of this took a great deal of money. Unfortunately, due to fealty obligations, many of his goods were taken in tax by the kingdom, and it doesn't buy as many goods as it used to due to decline in the economy. And because of a decline in trade, there are less merchants to carry goods and less customers nearby. So Lestia has to expand into new trade territory. The problem is that this new territory includes their enemies. They have begun to covertly sell weapons to the goblins and the rebel kingdom of Rovergria. I decided that I would try an equivalence of what GameStop did during a pandemic and came up with the idea of a disloyal vassal gunrunning to an enemy for profit. I'll give you a broad overview of how I see the plot of this campaign. The party is welcomed into the kingdom of Dyschenia, and they may have a few adventures here and there. These may involve your usual investigate cult activity, which might hint at a cult member being involved in a disloyal noble faction, or hunt down a goblin tribe responsible for burning a village outing, which might reveal that the goblins are better armed than usual. As they become more invested in the region and discover clues which may be off, they may be approached by a girl whose brother is missing. She begs the heroes to find him, and maybe they take up the adventure. Maybe they do it because a local official tries to silence her and or tries to strong-arm them into not communicating with her anymore. If they rise to this call, they'll go on an adventure, and they'll probably find the brother's body, which is identified by a birthmark on the side of his neck. They may discover that he was killed while smuggling, but that's not where the story ends. A smuggler who knew him could tell them he used to be a slave in the mines. When investigating the mines, they might find out that he was charged with sedition and sent to the mines. A local constable may reveal while drunk in a tavern that this man was sent up, and a final investigation will reveal that he worked with one of the factions that wanted to take Leschev and was caught spying. All of these adventures, and other ones, can slowly reveal that there is a secret smuggling operation run by Leschev, selling weapons to the enemy of the kingdom, and that this is both empowering their enemies, who may soon attack, and also turning Leschev further away from fealty, which may result in another civil war. In addition, the party may have to be wary of being accused of spying themselves, as the people of Leschev are wary and a very suspicious lot. You can see I took whatever liberties were necessary with adapting the plot, but that I boiled the basics of what GameStop has been up to down to several thematic pillars. You could go more literal. It could have been a quarantine period in a city, and various people are not obeying the quarantine, and there are still breakouts, and the king is having you investigate these. Or you could make it even more vague. You could even take what I've outlined and adapt that. There's many ways you can go with this. I just wanted to show how you can take an event, you can take the aspects of the event, how people acted in the event, and the thematics, and tweak them around so that you could make a realistic campaign. The next episode will be a two-parter about Dragonlance. First, I'll discuss the details of the campaign setting and how it came about, and then I'll discuss the novels and their storylines. This has been History and D&D. Hadad, I hope your day is free of thunderbolts.